Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Jury instructions, or I should say the attorneys are meeting about jury instructions right now in the Trump trial. We expect to hear some updates on this throughout the afternoon. But I can tell you, the president just spoke, former president. He's fired up, as you can imagine, hoping the judge will dismiss the case. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. You know the beauty of being back in Afternoon Drive is that we get to have all this breaking news that happens during our show, bring it to you live. You don't have to go anywhere, including the fact that Biden just signed a historic bill into law called the Bergeron Act. And we're going to play that for you and share with you what it means. And he also gave some marital advice, too. That is, to say the least, incredibly creepy. Very creepy. But Judge Mershon, who is the judge in the case, apparently decides to stick with the standard language for the definition of intent. So let me give you a little bit of context what's happening right now. Nothing's going to happen until next week when they have closing arguments. But in the meantime, the defense rested today. So Trump's team rested today. The prosecution rested yesterday. And then there'll be closing arguments. Those will be next week. In the meantime, the jury has to let all this stew in their head and try to avoid watching any of this on the news, and good luck with that, and, you know, and all the other things. And what is happening right now is that the prosecution and Trump's defense team are meeting with the judge regarding jury trial instructions. Now, we're hoping that Brett Tolman will be able to join us a little bit later today. He's obviously in high demand, and Fox News has him on a lot, but he's scheduled to join us later. I hope he can make it. But essentially, now what the jury instructions, and this is a key point, to tell the jury what it is that is going to be for a finding of guilt, and did the state, of course, prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt? But what those instructions are remain key here. And I know that sounds crazy. It's like we have these charges against Trump. Trump has said that he's not guilty. I don't believe that they've actually said what the crime here is yet. So what are the jury instructions? What does that mean? And then what is the jury told? And essentially now it comes down to what they have to, through their lens, view as whether or not Trump broke the law in order for a finding of guilt. And then the question, of course, is did the state meet that standard by proving that case beyond a reasonable doubt? Not that Trump proved his defense, But did the state prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt? We all know that. We're educated people. We understand all that. The question, though, as what will be the actual instructions, and that's what we're all waiting to find out, and that's what's happening. In the meantime, the former president spoke a few moments ago before he went into court. We'll grab that audio for you. It's just getting posted now, and we'll let you hear it, what he had to say. But it's the usual stuff. You know, this is an unconstitutional case. They have not proved, they don't know what the crime is. Nobody said what the crime is, and I agree with them. They have not said what the crime is. That we don't know still what the crime is here. But the one thing that's a good sign for Trump is that apparently now the judge said not to bring up election law or the issue of whether or not Trump violated election law or anything like that. That aspect of it, there's questions around that in terms of what that will mean to the jury and their instructions. The thinking being that Trump was not thinking about election law when he paid this money back to Michael Cohen. That election law never crossed his mind. So I don't know if that's actually going to be part of the instructions or not. We don't know yet. We're all kind of speculating here. And they've got various legal experts who are in court. And then when they have the opportunity, they come out and they tell everybody what's going on. That's about it right now. That's all we really know. So in the meantime, I'm hearing more and more people question whether or not Joe Biden's going to remain the candidate. I got a couple clips to play for you today, and just rambling and mumbling and yelling into the teleprompter and saying creepy things, of course, as he always does. But then it's the whole question of whether or not once Trump, this is not, I don't think they're going to find him guilty. I think you're probably going to get a hung jury. I'd be shocked if they acquit him only because it's Manhattan and all it takes is one lefty loon juror and then you have a hung jury. I can't imagine 12 people here saying this guy's guilty. We don't even know he's guilty of. But once this is over and this we move on from this and Georgia blows up and the Georgia case is going nowhere and then the federal cases are completely stalled until after the election, what do you do? I mean, their whole prayer and hope was that the law was going to save them, that all these judicial proceedings were going to stop Trump. And he hasn't been stopped. In fact, if anything, he's gotten stronger during all this. His poll numbers have gone up and Biden's gotten weaker. So then what do? You still have this bumbling fool for the president, or as Bill Maher said on The View a couple hours ago, a cadaver. The guy comes across like a cadaver. And Joy Behar defends him and goes, but his brain is still good. How is his brain good? There's nothing good about Biden's brain. And Bill Maher's right when he says that Joe Biden comes across like a cadaver. It's absolutely true. So I'm hearing more people now wondering, like, is this guy really going to make it to the convention? The Democrat convention's in August. Memorial Day is next week. Then we have the summer. And it seems like Biden gets worse by the minute. It really does. It really does. So the question of whether or not Biden remains the candidate, and then there's all kinds of speculation about what that means and who replaces him if that happens and how that works and the process works. But one clue, if they are going to do this, and I'm not predicting that they are at this point, but I'm just saying if they were to do this, here's how it happens. I think it's about Hunter, because there was this very sympathetic PBS NewsHour segment about Hunter's trial and how sad it's making Joe, how sad it's making the president. And I've told you this before, the theory being that Joe Biden says, I can't let my son fall back into the throes of addiction. And the stress on him is too much, and he can't bear it, and I'm going to pardon my son, and I know that I can't run for re-election because of that, but I'm choosing to be a dad over being president. I got to put my family first, and so I'm pardoning my son, and I'm getting out of the race. That's one way it could happen. The other way is if Biden just completely has an actual moment where, he literally just can't function anymore. But I don't think it's going to come to that. I think the hand will be forced in some way, shape, or form here. But he's a stubborn guy. He's a stubborn guy, and he doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to give up the power, and he thinks he's fine. He thinks the polls are fine. He thinks the polls are all lying. He thinks everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory in Joe Biden's fantasy world. So that's the other problem, too, is that getting him out is a little bit tricky here. It's not like he's going to turn around and just go gently. But if they try to do something, they're probably going to have to use his son as the bait. Like, you know, if you get out, you can pardon him, and then you save Hunter trial, and you also save anything coming out about you and your corruption. And you can make it all go away. It can all go away, and you could have your legacy, and you can leave office and go, you know, embezzle more money from Ukraine. And nobody has to know anything about the truth, and it goes away. And you have that excuse, and you don't have to worry about anything, and there you go. Now, the rumor is that Joe Biden would leave, but he doesn't want Kamala Harris taking over. And that part of the story I believe, no doubt about that. He hates her. And you'd hate her, too, if you were him. Remember when she stood up at that debate and called him a racist and said, I was that little girl, Joe? When he was talking about how he was fighting the desegregation, the busing in Wilmington, Delaware, because they didn't want it to be an urban jungle. And she turned around and said, you know, I was that girl, Joe. And basically, I mean, painted the guy as a total racist. And then a week later, of course, you know, becomes his running mate. But so he hates her. Jill hates her. The Bidens hate her. They don't want to see her become president. But the reality is, and he's got to be, well, he doesn't understand this. His people do. If he gets elected for a second term, she's going to be president at some point. I mean, if Biden pulls off some miracle and wins this election, and I don't see that happening, I really don't, she will wind up being president. He can't finish his 4 years. And he's got to be thinking that, too. So if he really hates her, don't put her in the White House. Don't put her in the Oval Office. And that may be the one saving grace out of all this, if they can then find a way to get rid of her. Because that's the other problem. The first black woman who's VP, and how do you just toss her aside without upsetting woke? Because woke takes that stuff very seriously. And Biden's already got a major problem with the black vote. Does that make things worse for him if he just pushes her aside for another white guy with you know, nice hair like Gavin Newsom? You get into the Michelle Obama theories, and I'm not going to bring it up because I know people get very upset. But more and more people are saying what I've said for years, and I'm not going to speculate. I'm just saying that obviously that solves that problem. And then you can maybe possibly save the black vote here. I don't know. I mean, Trump is going into the South Bronx to do a rally. Whether or not New York State is in play, again, is not the point. It's not the point. It's just like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing regarding the Wildwood. Same exact thing. Wildwood was about appealing to working class voters who don't go to Martha's Vineyard and the Hamptons and everything else. South Bronx, same thing. It's the optics. It's the appearance of it. It's blue collar workers. It's Hispanic workers. It's black workers. It's all those people who comprise that part of New York City that is not Manhattan, that is not hipster Brooklyn. I mean, if you know the Bronx, you know the Bronx. The Bronx is very different from the other suburbs. Now, right outside the Bronx, you get into some of the posh neighborhoods like where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez grew up, and some of the most expensive parts of New York State right outside of the Bronx. But the Bronx itself, that borough, is very different from the other four boroughs. Staten Island's very different, too. I imagine at some point he'll probably do a rally in Staten Island. You know, Staten Island's Trump country. Staten Island is Trump country, but he's got a lot of support in the Bronx, too. I would say he probably has a lot of support in Queens. Manhattan is always the problem, though. You know, Manhattan's the outlier. But the people that work for a living, that have to live in New York City, or who do live in New York City and work for a living, they're not living in Manhattan, and they're not living in Williamsburg, where Robbie Mook lived in the Hipsterville. They're living in the Bronx, they're living in Queens, and they're living far out in Brooklyn, out by, you know, Sheepshead Bay and that part of Brooklyn. They're on the Long Island border. I mean, it's Long Island, but, you know, they're on the Nassau County border. They're right at that line. Cops, firefighters, you know, cops who can't afford. I mean, the NYPD, you know, for years they were fighting the residency requirements because it's a very expensive city to live in, even outside of the borough of Manhattan. But Manhattan is insane. I mean, that's crazy land. It's Manhattan. You know, I mean, you don't have to tell you. But outside of that city, or I should say of that borough, you get a much different New York City. Now, it's still a very expensive place, but that's where you find much more of the blue-collar workers who live there and not hipsters. You know, hipsters don't live in those parts of Queens. In some parts of Queens they do, but not other parts. And the parts that they live in are small, you know. But Forest Hills, maybe, or some Regal Park. I think Regal Park's still a pretty blue-collar community from what I understand. But it's about the optics of being in the South Bronx. And he'll pack the rally. He'll get a ton of people there. And again, it is showing the two sides of America, which is that even within blue places like Jersey, like New York, you still have a lot of support for Trump. Now, whether or not he flips Jersey, flips New York, I frankly, those are bragging rights. It's not going to determine the presidency. If he wins those two states, he's already won the states he needs to win anyway, so then that's just icing on the cake. And great, enjoy it and celebrate it. I wouldn't invest a ton of time in it because I think it's a very uphill battle. I'm not writing it off either, but you know, I'm a practical guy. I want to see everything in Pennsylvania. Maybe I'm selfish that way, but I want to see everything about Pennsylvania. I think that's the key to the White House. But everybody in America, these things become national events. It's not like just people in the Bronx are going to see Trump's rally in the South Bronx, and it says a lot. He's going to be there. It's about sending a message. It's just like when he had the rally in Wildwood, and he's got the roller coaster behind him. He's got all these working class people that vacation in Wildwood. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, it's still an expensive vacation. You know this. I mean, well, this is our country here. We know this. I'm not telling you anything we don't know. To take your family for a week in Wildwood is still very expensive, but it's cheaper than some other options. Even along the Jersey Shore, but it's certainly and it's certainly cheaper than the Hamptons or Martha's Vineyard or any of these other lefty, you know, snobby places and all those other. So the whole notion is, hey, I appeal to people who are actually middle class. The populist billionaire goes to appeal to people in the middle class, and that says a lot because we are watching a party that gave up on the working class a long time ago. Democrat Party gave up on the working class people a long time ago in this country. And don't give me BS about Biden and the unions. The union workers are smart enough to know he doesn't give a damn about them. Everything that he's doing, whether their union leadership comes out and backs them or not, the union workers get it. They see it and they understand Trump's going to be their guy. He's going to fight for them. This economy, and Trump made this point today, too, outside the courthouse, which is that Biden is again trying to dump from the strategic oil. He's trying to tap the strategic petroleum reserves again to try to lower gas prices. And he's doing that. And why is he doing that? Because, again, he's playing election games. And he's playing games with America's energy independence. But he doesn't want to drill. I mean, he doesn't want to drill, but the gas prices are creeping up. And the summer's here, and the summer's the most expensive time of year for gas prices because you have that stupid ethanol blend that has to happen. And then people start driving a lot more, and all these other factors get involved. We still have the whole situation in the Middle East. Gas prices go up. He's trying to play games. So they're gonna tap more of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Trump made that point outside the courthouse as well. No, Matt, I think he spoke just before, a little while ago, he spoke live at about 10 of 3 or so. That's what I'm talking about. And then he went back in court. There was a break. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I'll keep looking.
He spoke there before they went back in. He came out and spoke, and it was rare that he does that because usually he just waves and then speaks at the end of the day. But this time around, he actually spoke before he went back into the courtroom after their lunch break or whatever it is. And he went on about the judge, and he went on about Biden, and he went on about the gas prices. So all that we'll try to grab that again. And it's just happening. All this stuff is just happening right now. But the notion of winning the working class vote, and it's the first time that the Republican candidate is looked at more favorably by working class voters since they started doing that polling data back in, I think, when Roosevelt was president or something like that. And the Democrats have abandoned the working class voters. And a big part of it is the energy stuff. I'm telling you, it's a big part of it. The energy stuff, they chose the green lunatics over workers in the energy sector, over workers in coal, over workers in natural gas, over workers in the oil industry. And they chose them over the auto workers who put these cars together in favor of these green, you know, cars that have these ridiculous requirements, but will drive the combustion engine out of existence and then ultimately will require less auto workers. So these are the things that they're doing. This is what the left is up to. And these guys, these blue-collar workers see it. Plus, I'll tell you what, cops all saw the Democrat Party embrace defund the police. And nobody can tell me for a second that cops have forgotten that. They know Democrats hate cops. They know that the Democrats were the party of defund the police. So you got that going. And then you just have the other fact of this, too, which is that people who are working class voters, whether or not any of his policies affect them directly or not, things are just too friggin' expensive. Things are just too expensive. You know, you go shopping for your family and you find up looking at these grocery prices and you go, my God, this is insane. This is insane. I mean, Red Lobster's going out of business. Red Lobster's filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And, you know, the news did a report on that. They didn't even mention inflation. But you look at the cost of things. Middle-class voters are more directly affected by the price of a McDonald's meal than people who are upper class, obviously. For a lot of them, that's going out. That's taking the family out to dinner. That's a convenient way to eat if they're on the road, McDonald's. And if it's $50 to feed a family of four, which in a lot of places it is now, that's unsustainable. So those same middle-class workers are also now looking at the economy and thinking to themselves, too, like, I can't afford this guy. I can't afford this Biden. Bottom line is this. This New York case, you know as well as I do, they're not going to find him guilty. I know this. You know this. So then it's just a matter of how do they beat Trump? They're going to cheat. I'm telling you right now, I think this thing's going to be too big to rig. You may not believe that, but I do. And if we go into this pessimistic, then we're definitely going to lose. No question about it. If you go into this pessimistically thinking no matter what, they're going to steal it. Well, then don't even bother at that point. Just hang it up and give it to them. But I don't see it that way. I think it's too big to rig. It's not COVID. We don't have a pandemic. We're not new to mail-in ballots. It's not new to us. We get it now. The attorneys are wiser. Everybody gets it. And the other fact is that in 2020, it was a referendum on Trump, and people were very unhappy because of COVID and other things. And, you know, Biden was the nice old man in the basement. He wasn't. He's a nasty SOB, always has been, but that was the game that they were playing. And this is a much different election now. So that's how I see this playing out. All right. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. This is the big story of the day, though, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariA. He'll give you the smile of your dreams with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. We're coming right back.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes! It's a long, lonely time as we try to figure out these jury instructions. The other question, too, is does Scarlett Johansson actually have a case? She's suing this OpenAI that she says used her voice without permission. I'm going to play you Scarlett Johansson's voice and the OpenAI and let you decide if you think that it's the same. All right, we'll do that. You can see if you think it's the same. It's an actual lawsuit that's happening right now, but I don't know. I don't know if I hear it myself, but I don't want to bias the jury. I don't want to bias the jury pool. So I'm not going to say anything yet. Okay? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I think it sounds exactly like her.
Now you're biasing the jury.
Well, sorry. I didn't mean to.
All right, we'll do a side-by-side comparison of ScarJo, as they call her, in the movie Her, where she uses artificial, that's her, like, in the movie Her, I don't know if I've seen it or not, but she sounds like the hot-sounding artificial intelligence. It's like a hotter version of that creepy Amazon device in your house, you know what I mean?
Alexa?
Yeah, but if you say it, she goes crazy during the show.
Oh, sorry.
That's why I didn't say it. That's why I was literally dancing around saying it.
I didn't mean to.
And then you just came out now and blurted out, and
sorry.
Everybody threw off the show, and everybody's screwed up.
I'm sorry.
But still, it makes more sense than what Biden said. He signed a law into effect here today. I hope this law helps. This law may turn everything around for you and your family. This may be the law that does it for Joe Biden. All right, and I think personally, this may be a game changer here. So take a listen.
Let me close with this. After I signed the PACT Act into law.
PACT Act into law. Pink Cadillac Act into law. PACT Act into law. Hmm? That it?
Let me close with this.
Well, I hope my family benefits from that. Could change everything. What was that?
I just wanted to hear it a second time.
Oh, go ahead.
After I signed the PACT Act into law.
PACT Land Act. Oh, it's PACT Land, like the game. I got it. But as bad as that is, it's not nearly as creepy as this. This is the creepiest thing I've heard in a long time. Biden giving some advice to young men who are thinking of getting married. Take a listen.
And by the way, I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not the same one. One of them will always be on your side. That's the biggest advantage of marrying into five daughters.
Yeah, and if, you know, one doesn't like you, the other four might, and then maybe, you know. Is the president endorsing polygamy there is what I want to know. And also, as creepy as that is, does that mean you get to the sister wives and then you can take turns with them? You get Melissa on Tuesday, Jenny on Wednesday, and is that how that works?
Ugh.
Yeah, you know, one of them will always love you, am I right? I mean, it'd be the same one, even better. But only one at a time. He'll be greedy. Oh, it's just creepy and weird. Play that again, too, Matt, please.
And by the way, I say to every young man thinking of getting married, marrying a family of five or more daughters. I did. My wife's the oldest of five sisters. You know why? One of them will always love you. Not the same one. One of them will always be on your side. That's the biggest advantage of marrying into five daughters.
Yeah. By the way, you know, if you got five and your wife's having a bad night, or she's, you know, having her special time, the other four might be available. I'm just saying. So we're going to polygamy? Is that what it is? Is this 1837 in Utah? I'm just curious. I just want to know because I know. All right, let's take a quick break. Ian Smith's going to join us. He just won a big court case in New Jersey. Remember, he battled King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, over the closing of Attila's Gym. This was a big win for freedom and common sense, and we'll talk to Ian about that in just a few moments. Plus, we're going to check in a little bit later with Brett Tolman about what's going on with the Trump case. I have some audio for you about Trump. I didn't even mention Michelle Obama's name. I mentioned it, but I said I'm not going to get into it. I just said people were talking about it. That's all I said. I'm not getting into it. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't like upsetting people. I want to be happy. That's why I love going to my happy place, which is the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I highly recommend you book your June midweek stay today, because Memorial Day is right around the corner, and then summer season. And the Grand Hotel will sell out, as it does every summer. So what are you waiting for? Please reach out to them today and make your reservation at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. The Grand Hotel is the best. It really is. It is a full-service resort. You have an outdoor pool bar. You have an outdoor heated pool, an indoor heated pool, and a beautiful restaurant on site called Hemingway's. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's oceanfront. You got a beach cabana. And the longer you stay, the more you save, because they give you resort credits to use at the resort. So you can get drinks at the pool bar if you want, take your family out to dinner at Hemingway's restaurant. However you want to use them is up to you. But you always got to book direct with them for the best rates. And remember, our next live show is Friday, June 21st. So don't miss it, Friday, June 21st. The other thing that I wanted to let you know about is that the Grand Hotel is the wedding destination. The wedding destination. I'd love for you to be there. Join, I mean, your memories will last a lifetime if you have your wedding at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So book your reservation today by going to grandhotelcapemay.com, grandhotelcapemay.com, and we'll see you there June 21st.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210. WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, so it is a busy, busy Tuesday afternoon. We're awaiting the jury trial instructions in Trump's case. Welcome back to the show, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Ian Smith has been on the show before. He was the guy behind the gym, and he battled Governor Phil Murphy, King Philip the Unaccountable, and he won. Ian, welcome back, man. It's been a couple years. How you been?
I've been great, Rich. Thanks for having me again. And if you remember correctly, you were the first person to cover the story. So it's good to be back with some good news.
I was the first. Thank you for mentioning that. And then you went nationwide when you were on Tucker Carlson's show. He was on Fox back then and talked about this. And then I remember the time he asked Murphy about the Bill of Rights, and that's when Murphy said the Bill of Rights was above his pay grade.
Yeah, I think that's when we kind of knew that we were in for a long fight.
So I remember the doors being boarded up.
It summed it up then.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, Ian, I was just going to say, I mean, I remember the doors being boarded up. I remember you and Frank, I think you guys kicked the doors down at one point. I mean, the sewer backed up into the gym. I mean, it was a nightmare for you guys.
It was really very, very difficult, but you know what? We had an incredible group of people who pitched in so many ways, and while we were, you know, the sort of the tip of the spear, the force of the fight really came from the community around us. So as crazy as all of it was, the $15,000 a day fines, the arrests, the potential prison time, all of the court costs and everything that's associated with it, and all the stress was carried by a load of just some really awesome people. So, you know, and we just had to keep going until we got somewhere.
And you got somewhere. So tell us what the good news is, Ian Smith. Attila's Gym and all the fines that were levied against you and the nightmare that you and your partner Frank went through. Give us the good news.
So, you know, there's still a lot going on, but it's really our first big win. You know, we've been in state court for years, just kind of getting bashed around and losing, you know, fighting the state in its own court with its own appointed, not elected officials. It's not an easy thing. So, basically the, one of the few things that the state based its justification for punishing us, and ultimately the court order where all of these tangible punishments came from, the doors being locked and the money being taken, was based on in conjunction with two other things, the executive order and the health department, was all these municipal level charges that we got that they were writing in the first. They wrote a lot of them within the first couple weeks, and then they stopped, and then they came back, and they were writing a bunch more. And all these charges were the basis of saying, hey, look at these bad guys not listening. Hey, judge, you know, come give us a court order. And that's when things got a little hairy. So those charges, and there's over 80 of them between, you know, my former partner and I, we had about 40 or some each, and they ranged. They were a violation of a governor's orders, operating without a business license, because that was another one of the things they did to us. They took our license, public nuisance, disturbing the peace, all of these things. They've sat for 4 years, and finally we got the judge on the case. You know, she said sort of enough is enough. We've waited for the state to give some direction or some discovery on these actions. To date, no documents, no evidence, nothing was ever produced. And they were just letting these things sit. And she dismissed most of the charges. Well, all of the charges were dismissed with prejudice. The basis for all of them was the deprivation of the right to a speedy trial. 4 years later, you know, not a single document has been produced. And then some of them as well, there was a second reason for dismissal, and that was operating without a business license. The township didn't have the authority to even be operating giving or taking mercantile licenses. And that's a state issued license. Health clubs operate from a state license. So she dismissed all the charges, and, you know, now we're done with those. And that sort of at least opens up the playing field a little bit to maybe go after the court order, to undo some of the damage and potentially even seek, you know, retribution. And, it's a long game. Our attorneys told us that from the very, very start. We had some bad attorneys at first, but we hooked up with John McCann and Giancarlo Gione out of New Jersey, and they really battled with us. But one of the things that John said very early on, he said, you're going to win from the bottom, he said, and it's going to take a long time. And our first win was at the very, very bottom. You know, all that other stuff still exists, the fines and stuff like that. But our first win was from the bottom, and it did take a long time. So he told us that from the get-go, but we finally arrived at some sort of reprieve from this.
Well, I'm so happy for you, man. Congratulations. I mean, you guys fought the good fight at Attila's Gym in Belmar. I mean, you never backed down. You didn't back down for a second. We were all on your side. You'd come on the show a lot back then. We talk about this. I mean, freaking, you know, fast food restaurants were open. You could get cigarettes and go to McDonald's, and you can go to Walmart, but you couldn't go work out. It made no sense whatsoever. Yeah. And it was and then it just became the governor's personal mission just to punish you. And you became a target for him.
And again, to your credit, you were one of the first few sane voices, especially at that time. It was wildly unpopular to even ask the questions that we now sort of assume as just truth. So the collective effort is what at least allowed us to get to this point. You know, the show's not over, but just want to thank you again for that, because that, you know, all that mattered in what we were able to achieve just by being able to stand up.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you saying that, Ian. I thank you, and you don't have to. And I appreciate you saying that very much. It means a lot to me to hear you say that. Back then, the lunacy of some of the things, I mean, you guys were willing to do whatever it took. You were willing to space the equipment apart. You're willing to put the equipment in the parking lot. You know, the other part of the story here is that you guys were not being unreasonable, and people wanted to exercise, and exercise is healthy. And we also talked about that fact, which is that, you know, COVID was something that was targeting people people who happen to be obese in a lot of respects, not every case, but in a lot of cases. And, you know, being healthy and getting vitamin D and working out and all these things helped your body either fight COVID or prevent it. And you know, they didn't want to hear any of that. They didn't want to hear any of that nonsense. I mean, not nonsense, but they only wanted to just keep perpetuating the unhealthy state that America was in. And that's why it really bothered me to my core that you could get fast food, but you couldn't exercise. It just really, really got to me. And I said, I got to help these guys out here because they're fighting the good fight. And it's just not right what's happening to them. And then suddenly, you know, you became, it did become a cause celeb because people understood. But I want to make that point. You know, you guys were willing to be reasonable about a lot of different things. They wouldn't, they just would literally just not let you open your doors. It wasn't even a matter of yeah. anything. They just would not let you do it, period.
Yeah, that was part of the whole idea of reopening was, hey, man, like, we're just trying to solve a problem here. And, you know, we were very public about it. And because we did want to, we didn't want, it wasn't to piss people off. That wasn't the, it wasn't defiance for the sake of defiance or rebellion for the sake of rebellion. It was, hey, this is not fair. And we're not going to take it for ourselves, but this isn't what we want for our fellow citizens, for our friends, for our family, for our loved ones. This is not okay. We went above and beyond. Our safety protocol was absurdly more robust than anybody's. And we even after people started dropping stuff, we were still taking temperatures at the gym, you know, until we got our business licenses back, because we had a point to prove is we were not being unreasonable. We invited the state to come talk to us, you know, and they absolutely refused. And, you know, I guess we kind of knew that's what the response was going to be. But that didn't change the fact that, you know, we at least tried, you know, because at the end of the day, we just wanted to do what was right. We were sure that it was, you know, it wasn't a snap decision. We waited 2 months to open, and we planned and we did our homework, and we did it because, yeah, it affected us personally, but it affected people that we knew. We knew people that needed to be in the gym because that's their place where they go to for mental health, or that's the place that they go to for physical health. Yeah. And we just wanted to be that service to the community that was the reason we got into business in the first place, you know. So they showed their own lunacy. You know, all we had to do was sort of maintain the path and know that we were in the right no matter what, and that we did this because we care. And eventually, you know, the beating stops and you know, things get better. You know, it's not easy, but it would have been just as hard losing the things that we cared about too, you know, like letting that stuff go. So, you know, and people resonated with that message, and we're very, very thankful for that.
So what's next? I know it's not over yet. So what's next?
Well, I only speak for myself. After I ran for Congress in 2022, I decided I was going to move my family down to Florida. The gym was, we had our mercantile licenses back, and so my former partner is now 100% in control of the gym. He's been that way for close to 2 years now. So I'm still involved in the legal matters that pertain to me, so I can only sort of speak sure. what's next for me in terms of this stuff. And that would be a good long conversation with the attorney and kind of looking at the battlefield now. You know, all this stuff costs money and time, and you have to be very strategic. But you know, I would bet that there's going to be an avenue that we can take. You know, not sure the details of it yet in terms of the legality and what argument will be put forth. But if we have pulled the rug out from one of the things that was the basis of all these extreme punishments, then I think that we should be able to revisit it in court and look at this court order and say, is this valid? And if it's not, then we need to undo the things that have been done. And I think that's pretty reasonable, but again, those things kind of take time. So, you know, that's definitely something that we'll have some more updates about once the dust kind of settles from the small victory, the small but important victory that we've had.
Well, best of luck to you, my friend. Keep us posted. I'm sorry to lose you to Florida, but I get it. I do. I completely understand. And I'm as tempted sometimes to go down there, but I got this show. So, Ian Smith, congrats. I know the battle is still going, but it's good to catch up with you and keep in touch. Okay.
Thanks, Rich. Have a great one.
You too. All right, as we continue with the show here, we'll give you some of what Trump said just moments ago. There's some breaking news, too. Julie Kelly just tweeted out. The raid on Mar-a-Lago, the Federal Bureau of Investigation was authorized to use deadly force when they went there to retrieve the so-called classified documents. That is breaking news. Just came out a few moments ago from our friend Julie Kelly. So the FBI was authorized to use deadly force. Think about this now. This is the home of the former president of the United States of America, who's protected by the United States Secret Service. I'll give you more details on that. We're also going to check in with our buddy Brett Tolman. We got a lot to chat about as we continue with the show here today. But I do want to tell you, listen, the rains are on their way. It's April. Memorial Day is right around the corner. So if you have any water problems on your yard, you got to deal with it. Okay, these water problems never get better. They only get worse. Garden State Earthworks is who you call. GardenStateEarthworks.com. They're the best at what they do. Simply nobody better. I'm telling you. Lou Vargo is the man. I met him 10 years ago at the first house that we had down here and that had water problems. And he comes to the house. He says, I promise you, you'll never have another drop of water in that basement again. And he was a man of his word. And it was solved. Beautiful, dry basement for us to enjoy for years when Patrick was a kid. And we moved to this new house now. I mean, Patrick's still a kid, but he's an older kid now. But now my four-year-old, Reagan, she's out there all the time. And the backyard is like a swamp. And I called up Lou again. I said, we got to deal with this. So they came to the house. They drained the water away. Water problem solved. If you have any water problems on your property causing hardscaping issues, damage to your swimming pool, your pool liners floating, hardscape damage, landscape damage, mosquitoes that are breeding, whatever it is, reach out to Garden State Earthworks today. Now, they're very busy because they're the best. But if you tell them I sent you, they're going to make you a priority. So here's the number, 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. You reach out to them, they'll make you a priority and get this done. And don't trust a landscape company to do this. You need the experts. That's Garden State Earthworks. GardenStateEarthworks.com, 856-848-4444.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.